This is Pastor Emery. God tells us in His Bible that disobedience to His Word would bring upon our people all the diseases of Egypt. America is becoming a land of cancer, heart trouble, bad eyes, childhood disease epidemics, medicines, vaccinations, doctors, hospitals, and more new diseases. Is it possible that such things as vaccinations are violations of God's law? And if so, could they be more of a cause of disease than a cure? You listen. This month I am going to talk about you, about those things which affect the personal health and well-being of your mind and body. And I'll have somewhat to say about the poisons in our food, water, and air, and in what are called drugs or medicines, poisons in some cases deliberately introduced into the human body for the purpose of making the person ill or causing his death. I will be reading some Bible passages which bear on this subject in just a moment, some passages which many Christians have heard before, but either did not understand or thought they did not apply to them, and I'll be reading some which most churchgoers probably do not know are in the Bible, and yet they are in there for our good. While you are getting your Bibles to follow with me, I will list the free literature for radio listeners for August, which will give you an idea of what we will be studying on this and the next several broadcasts. I have three special tracts this month. Two of them have to do with what are called vaccinations or immunizations. The first is a statement of belief of our church on vaccinations, in which we give the reasons why Christians should not allow the injection of those putrid and often diseased substances into their blood. The second track on vaccines is a reprinting of 12 pages from a larger 300-page book titled The Poisoned Needle, referring to the vaccine needle. The third track in this month's free radio packet is titled God's Solution for Drug Peddlers. The health and lives of hundreds of thousands of American children and young people have been destroyed in the last 20 years, and yet there seems to be little, if any, effective method of stopping the distribution of these civilization-destroying drugs. Well, the Bible has a solution. It is very simple, it would be easy to use, and it would be most effective. And yet I suppose not one Christian in 1,000 has ever heard that God Almighty has told us how to prevent drugs from destroying our people. Now turn with me in your Bible to the passage quite often used by ministers to condemn smoking of tobacco and drinking liquor. You all know it, but let's read it again anyway. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 16 and 17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. I agree with ministers who claim this passage is a command to keep the body clean, and therefore defiling it with tobacco, liquor, or other substances harmful to the body is prohibited. But I go further. I believe that would also prohibit many other things which are in common use today, substances which are as harmful and often more harmful to the human body than tobacco and alcohol. Now, you good fundamentalists, don't turn me off yet. You listen to this preacher who has the audacity to say there are substances more harmful to your health than tobacco and alcohol. I didn't say you should smoke. I didn't recommend a pint of whiskey a day. I just said there are other things which defile the body, the temple of God, and make it unclean. Before we discuss what they are, let's consider this word holy, used here in verse 17 in relation to your body, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Just what does this word holy mean as used in the Bible? Does it mean without sin? Well, not necessarily. For we read in the books of the law that the pitchers and the bowls used in the tabernacle were holy. Now they could not sin as we think of sin. They were inanimate objects, and yet they were called holy. In Matthew 4 and verse 5, we read of the devil taking Jesus up into the holy city. This is understood to be Jerusalem, and yet as we read on in the gospel accounts, we find all sorts of sins being committed in Jerusalem. In fact, Jesus accused the Jewish Pharisees in Jerusalem of everything from robbery to murder to blasphemy in Jerusalem, and yet God called it the holy city. Angels are called holy. Jesus is called holy. In Luke 1 verse 72 and in other places, God's covenant with Abraham is called the holy covenant. Paul writes in Romans 7 and verse 12 that the law is holy and the commandment holy. In the King James Bible, there are two similar Greek words translated holy. One means, literally, pure and undefiled, and the other fits our English word hallowed. Abraham Lincoln called the Gettysburg Cemetery hallowed ground. Now, the ground can't sin or be sinless. Its being hallowed or not hallowed is not due to the ground, but to the use to which it is put. In other words, the ground of Gettysburg, like the pots and vessels in the sanctuary, are hallowed or holy because of their use. In the same manner, when God Almighty's Word tells us that your body is holy, He is not saying you are sinless. For any Christian knows he is not, every Christian should know that he is a sinner. And yet God says we are holy. Why are we holy? Because of the use to which God has ordained us. We are vessels in His tabernacle. And just as the Levites of ancient Israel were commanded in the law of the tabernacle to wash and clean the pots and vessels in the old tabernacle, so are we commanded to keep this vessel, our body, clean for service in the new tabernacle. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. You know these verses, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now many stop there, and some even speak against works on the grounds that we are not saved by works. Of course we are not. We are saved by the free gift of God in Christ Jesus. But listen to the next verse. Verse 10, Ephesians 2. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What is our mission? What are we to walk in as Christians? Good works. We are ordained to good works. That is our holy calling, if you please. And at the end of that passage, he goes on again about our being the temple of God. Verse 19 to verse 22, this is still in Ephesians chapter 2. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So we are of the household of God, and that fits with the idea of our being vessels in that household. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. An habitation of God. You are a vessel in the Christian tabernacle or holy temple, and God dwells in you. Therefore, do not defile God's habitation, God's dwelling place, your body. Your body is a place set aside for holy use. Just as the ancient tabernacle and the vessels in it were to be kept clean, so are you to be kept clean. So I repeat again, fundamentalist ministers who preach that smoking tobacco and drinking hard liquor is wrong because it defiles your body are preaching correct New Testament doctrine. Your body is to be kept clean for your holy Christian service. So some said, all right, Pastor Emery, we agree tobacco smoking and whiskey drinking is wrong. We don't do it. So what does that have to do with vaccines, immunizations, and drugs? Well, I'll show you. Just hang on to your hats a little longer and follow with me in the Bible. You older folks have heard the saying, cleanliness is next to godliness. Well, there is more truth than poetry in that, and it is Bible truth. Our fathers probably understood that principle from reading the Old Testament laws on food, on diseases, and on sanitation. I won't have time to read them on the radio, of course, but you should read chapters 11 through chapter 15 of the book of Leviticus. These have to do with clean and unclean animals, disease, washing of the clothes and body, and other sanitary measures when an Israelite had leprosy or other disease. It sounds rather strange today when we seem to know all about antiseptics, germ killers, washing of wounds, and so on, but the so-called medical profession of even 300 years ago did not understand the need to keep an ill or injured person clean. And yet God gave laws for cleanliness to Israel over 3,000 years ago, and they've been in the book all of that time. Finally, several hundred years ago, some doctors in Europe began to read and to quote from these chapters in Leviticus as a guide for cleaning wounds, changing bandages, washing the patient's bedclothes, and so on. They soon found that injured people healed much faster when washings, such as are commanded in the book of Leviticus, were practiced. You should read them. Those are chapters 11 through 15 in Leviticus. Now, I am going to read a passage in Deuteronomy which may startle or shock some of you folks, but don't get upset. Just think with me for a moment and you'll realize God knew all about sanitation and told His people about it long, long ago. It just took we so-called modern men a long time to put these things into practice. Deuteronomy 23. Israel is encamped in the wilderness, and God gave this commandment. Now you listen closely. The King James translators had to be a little careful and prudent in this. Some might think this is a subject not apropos for the Bible. Deuteronomy 23, verses 12 through 14. Thou shalt have a place also without the camp, whither thou shalt go forth abroad, and thou shalt have a paddle upon thy weapon, and it shall be, when thou wilt ease thyself abroad, thou shalt dig therewith, and shalt turn back, and cover that which cometh from thee. Now if you didn't understand that, I'll rephrase it. God said that Israelites were to go to the bathroom outside of the camp, and bury their body waste in the ground. And I can just hear some delicate Christian catching his breath and saying, why, Pastor Emery, must you talk of such things? That is not a subject for Christian Bible study, especially a public radio broadcast. Well, it is Christian. It is in the Bible. And further than that, it is a command of God Almighty that His people bury human waste. So you insist. Why, everyone knows that. That only makes good sense. So why in the world would God stoop so low to put such a thing in the Bible? Well, first of all, everyone does not know that. If any of you have been among what might be called the heathen races, you would know that in many places in the world, such things are not only not practiced, they seem not even to be known. I remember as a soldier in Uncle Sam's army many years ago, when I went overseas in the Pacific, how startled I was to see all the little boys and girls under about 5 years of age wearing clothing only on the top half of their body, nothing on the bottom. Why? Well, so when they had to relieve themselves, they just stopped wherever they were, on the beach, in the forest, at the side of the road, or in the village, and went potting. I remember the first time I rode the Philippine Rabbit. And you old 13th Air Force people who have been on Luzon know what that is. For the rest of you, I'll tell you, it was a bus line of old dilapidated buses which ran from Manila to outlying burials in the Pampanga Valley. Anyway, I had to get from Manila to Clark Air Force Base one time shortly after I arrived in the Philippines, and I and a couple of other men paid a few pesos and rode the bus. About halfway to San Angelos, the bus pulled over to the side of the road and stopped. We didn't know what for until about half of the passengers, Filipino civilians, got out, both men and women, walked over into a field in full sight of the bus and relieved themselves, then got back on the bus and we rode on. Now, I was only 19 years old at the time and didn't know then what I know now. Sanitation, as we know it in the Western world, is practically non-existent among most races in Africa and the Orient. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to degrade those people. Instead, I am trying to answer up before they rise that God Almighty gave a special commandment to His chosen people, the children of Israel, to use sanitary measures in their camp, in their cities, and upon their persons, and He did it for a specific purpose. And now you listen closely. Why Israel is to practice sanitation, for it has a direct bearing on our study of bodily cleanliness and holiness. Verse 14, Deuteronomy 23, after telling Israel to bury human waste in the ground, "For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee, and to give up thine enemies before thee, therefore shall thy camp be holy." Here is that word holy again. You Israelites bury human waste to keep your camp or your city holy. "Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he," or God, "that he see no unclean thing in thee, and turn away from thee." Could we say our parents were right when they said cleanliness is next to godliness? God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, the one who created man and beast upon the earth, told Israel, "You keep your camp, your habitation, clean of filth and dirt. For I walk in the camp of Israel, and if I see unclean things in the camp, I may turn away from thee." Now, if such a God would command Israel to keep even the ground of their camp clean, how much more would that same God tell His people to keep their bodies clean? In ancient Israel, God said, "I walk in the camp of Israel. Therefore, the camp of Israel must be clean." In the New Testament, God says, "I dwell in your body. Therefore, do not defile or make unclean your bodies. They are the temple or the habitation of the living God." I was going to read some in Leviticus 11, but instead turn to Deuteronomy 14. This is a parallel passage with Leviticus 11, where God lists the animals, birds, and fishes which Israel may eat, and also those which they may not eat, because those animals or fish are unclean. He begins this way, Deuteronomy 14, verse 1. "Ye are the children of the Lord your God. Ye shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead." Now those things, or cuttings, were practiced by the heathen and the Canaanites, self-inflicted wounds by relatives of dead people, who thought such punishment and shedding of their blood would help a departed relative make it to paradise. Verse 2, here is the reason Israelites were not to do such things, For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all nations that are upon the earth. God was not commanding all people not to do this. This was a command to Israel because they were a special people, here called an holy people. Again, he is not calling them sinless. They were holy because they were consecrated to God for his use. And the very next words God says are, "Thou shalt not eat any abominable thing." And then he tells them what animals they can eat, and says, among other things, verse 7 and 8, "Nevertheless, these ye shall not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the cloven hoof, as the camel, and the hare, and the coney," and that's the rabbit, "for they chew the cud, but divide not the hoof, therefore they are unclean unto you, and the swine, because it divideth the hoof, yet cheweth not the cud, it is unclean unto you. Ye shall not eat of their flesh, nor touch their dead carcass." God said, "Israel, you are holy. Therefore, you are not to eat unclean animals." Now, I dare say there are very few Christians among you who would say that the law of covering up human waste is no longer valid and should be disobeyed. But at the same time, thousands of you listening to me right now believe the law on unclean animals is no longer valid, that it has been canceled, that you can now eat the swine and the rabbit and the other creatures listed here as unclean. Well, I beg to disagree. Jesus did not die to make the hog clean. The hog is still an unclean animal, and he pollutes the flesh of the man who eats him today just as much as he did when God gave this commandment 3,000 years ago. And so you say, "But Pastor Emery, I didn't know you were going to talk about the law on unclean animals. I thought you were going to talk about vaccines and immunizations and drugs and why Christians should not take them." Well, I am, and next time, God willing, I will be telling you how some vaccines are made from the flesh and blood of unclean animals, all the way from monkeys to horses, and when the diseased pus of those animals is injected into you, even though the government and the doctors call it medicine, it is still unclean. It is a violation of God's law, and it will defile your body, the temple of the living God. And you will be in disobedience to both the Old Testament law and the New Testament commandment. And if you will write to me today and ask for our free August literature, I will send you our free tracts on vaccinations, in which we point out how some of these vaccines are made and give Bible reasons why they are unclean. The tract, "The Poison Needle," will reveal why today even some doctors are beginning to realize that vaccines, far from preventing diseases, may be one of the major reasons why so many millions of our people are sick and in ill health, many of them even in their younger years. Some even suspect vaccines cause cancer, and it makes sense. For years, the medical profession has been telling us cancer is caused by many years of exposure to cancer-causing agents, such as tobacco, radiation, and chemical compounds they say are carcinogenic. But now, little children of 3 and 4 years and even little babies of 1 and 2 years of age are being found with cancer. They have not lived long enough for the long years of exposure, and they certainly have not been smoking. Where did they get these cancers? Well, you write for our August packet, and you'll see why some make a good case of their claim that vaccinations and shots cause cancer. Maybe God Almighty knew something we don't know when he told Israel that certain animals were unclean to Israel and were to be avoided and not taken into their bodies. Is monkey pus injected into your children bringing early cancer and other ailments to millions of Americans? Write for our tracts and see Maybe God knows best after all. The announcer will give my address in just a moment. I've much more to read from the Bible on this subject and from other sources which are in agreement with Bible truth, so you listen in again next week. Until I return then, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christian America.